Ryan Big Mac McKinnell, KBAD Las Vegas.
Power Play. Here's your host, C. Williams.
Back at you. 4 o'clock, standing tall, feeling good here on a Thursday. Ah, some football. College football. Pennant chases. Guests coming at the bottom of the hour. Plenty to get to today. Glad you could be with us here for Power Play. I'm Seed Williams. J-Dog's got the dishes, working it.
Yep.
Ken Thompson's going to join us at the bottom of the hour. Catch him at Ken Thompson 87 Sports X Radio. We'll talk some college football. He'll tear up the games, the key games. We've got about 8 or 9 college football games we'll look at, including UNLV Wyoming, which could be a scare for the Rebels and Tony Sanchez. Eagles tonight at Packers. Eagles kind of banged up, however. They're in this game. We know the Packers have a new face, got a facelift. They like to play defense now, and that way Aaron Rodgers, all the weight isn't on his worn-out shoulders. Navy, Memphis, get to all that. Dope, 20 past the hour. J-Dog, today is National Pancake Day.
Oh, good God. Where do you find these things, man?
On my menu. Okay. Chicken and waffles, do you like?
Yeah, I love chicken and waffles. Roscoe's chicken and waffles? Yeah, I love it.
Well, you know what's going to happen next.
What? Pancake?
Pancakes and waffle. It's got to be coming.
Chicken,
pancakes
chicken,
and chicken.
Chicken pancakes?
Chicken pancakes. It's got to be on deck, right?
I mean, I don't see why not. I like syrup and fried food.
You'll down it.
Yeah.
You're ready to go.
I'm good, man.
All right, before we get to the hit list, I'd like to talk a little bit about this Rebel situation. And it is a situation because Wyoming is a very good football team. They're 3-1. Okay, they opened their season, they beat Missouri 37-31. Then they went on, they beat Texas State, Idaho. They lost to Tulsa, but only by a field goal. Pretty good football team. And their redshirt freshman quarterback, in Sean Chambers, he's nuts. Dude has rushed for, 437 yards. He averages 7 yards per carry. And the Rebels are going to have their hands full. We'll talk about this game also with Ken Thompson, but the Rebels are nearly a double-digit underdog. The total's 48. This will be a smash-mouth football game. Wyoming has rushed for nearly 900 yards on the ground and has passed for only 500, so you know what's coming. And you're at an altitude of 8,600 feet, so you know your chest is going to be burning before you get back to the bench. How big do the Rebels need this game, J-Dog? And if they do lose this game, do they spiral downward or can they come back from this? I mean, they're 1-2 right now.
I mean, I think they, in theory, could come back from it because what this team has done almost every year is they always beat somebody that they're supposed to and lose to somebody that they're not. This is the team that if they were... They're both running teams. And both teams' biggest weakness is the passing game, both on offense and defense. Neither of these teams can cover anybody, and the Wyoming quarterback is actually worse at throwing than Armani Rodgers, which I didn't know was possible. This is going to be if this is smart, this is going to be a both quarterbacks combined for less than 20 passing attempts. But I don't believe that this coaching staff is going to figure that out. So this is going to be a mess. And I don't know who I want, but I think you know what the bet is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, Wyoming is good. And we haven't seen this in a while. Well, they had their quarterback, let's go, Bill. I mean, look, he was their star, right, before moving to the NFL last year. So they had to basically kind of rebuild. But you always have red shirts like this kid coming in that we talked about and Sean Chambers, who's a redshirt freshman. And obviously he can dazzle on the field. He's not much with the arm, as you mentioned. They need this game pretty badly, does UNLV? If the Rebels do go to 1-3, and then we talked about the schedule before, and Boise, San Diego State, it doesn't get easier. It gets rougher. They have to go up here and win this game. And generally speaking, a road game like this, at that altitude, with that environment, and Wyoming fans, they were 3-0 before they lost to Tulsa. Tulsa's no knockover. They only lost by a field goal. this right here is going to be a game where if the Rebels do come back with a victory, I hope they do, that could kind of glue this team together and maybe they have an impact on what they can do in the future, perhaps.
I don't know, man. I am a firm believer that if it weren't for a certain pair of brothers who own several casinos here in town, Marvin Menzies would still be the basketball coach and Tony Sanchez would no longer be employed by UNLV. That being said, dude's got to win six games. That's all he's got to win. Six games, which should seem doable.
Do you think he will?
No.
So you think this is it?
I think this is either a wrap or he wins five games and loses like the last game of this. Like loses.
Isn't that Reno the last game?
Yeah. If he loses,
you can't.
Oh no. But okay, actually, hold on. All right. So if he's won four games, he loses the last game and he goes into Reno and he like wins the cannon. I don't know if you can. He keeps the cannon. I don't know if you can fire a guy, even if it's five wins. But it's five wins and you won the last one against Reno. I don't know if that's going to be like, okay, all right, next year you got to make a bowl game. Or it's, you know, the notorious DRF, the current athletic director, she is not, she doesn't bleep around, man. She's got goals.
Wait, let me ask you, would you like to be in a closed-door meeting with the Rebel higher-ups?
Like
Desiree and some of the others?
Oh, yeah. No,
how cool would that be? To be just, all right, listen, you can come in here and sit down. But if we hear anything out of this room, there's only four of us in here. You could be the weak link. You could be the whistleblower. Then we're coming for you.
The one thing that I applaud her on and also find infuriating about her is that everything she says is like perfectly nothing. Like she will give you an answer to a question that you're like, did she say anything? I don't know. It was really good, though. Like it was a really like that was a really great answer that I don't think answered my question. But no, I think behind closed doors, she doesn't F around. So he doesn't come up with six. He's hitting the bricks.
I wonder what it's like with those regents when they get together and they want to make a move on this or that. Remember what it was before they made the rule when they brought in Chris Beard, okay?
Oh,
and
yeah.
Hired him for that 10-day period. I wonder what those meetings are like. I'd love to be able to sit in one of those meetings and just, you know me, I'm a vote. I'm not going to disclose anything I heard. I would love to sit in there with the board of regents when they're hiring or about to get somebody out of there just to see how they move.
I just enjoyed the fact that during that the board of regents thing, we were like, oh, do you really deserve this money? And then like 10 days later, Texas Tech's like, we'll pay it for you. Like, you don't got to be with anybody. And we're like mad at Chris Beard for leaving. It's right. Like, I mean, he shouldn't have. I don't agree with him leaving, but we certainly like did roll out the red carpet and be like, hey, you're our new coach. We were like, you're going to have to meet with some folks before we agree to pay you anything.
You know what? I do agree with him leaving. And he mentioned his two daughters down there in Texas, young, and he just wanted to come up with it. He didn't want to have to relocate them. It was just a bad situation. UNLV deserved what happened to them with the way they went through the process with Rice.
Oh, yeah, firing Rice was the dumbest.
Everything, the dominoes tipped over, it fell on UNLV because they brought it to themselves the way they treated Dave Rice and everyone else that lined up behind that, Menzies included, a short leash. And unfortunately, it's where we are right now, and we'll see what happens here.
I think Sanchez has been given a fair enough shake. Like at this point, man, like what is this, year five? Like there's got to be a point where it's like, all right, you kind of, if you were going to turn this around, you kind of needed to have done it already.
Well, let's hope he wins on Saturday. Time now for the hit list. Jay-Z of Roc Nation, tied into the NFL, has announced J-Lo and Shakira to perform at this year's 2020 Pepsi Super Bowl halftime show, February 2nd in South Beach.
Are you excited about this?
I never really get excited about the halftime performance unless it's Janet and a nipple.
I love your honesty. No, all right, so I believe Bomani Jones was the originator of this, and ever since I've heard about it, G-Funk Super Bowl. Pretty bring out G-Funk.
Okay.
Get them on the Super Bowl. It would be the best. Everybody would be happy.
See, I don't care about demographics, ethnicity, any of that at a halftime performance. I just want to see the game. Other people get involved with, I get it, okay, but it doesn't have any impact on me. I'm going to bet the Super Bowl. I just want to win some money. I want to have a big bag when that game is over. That's where I'm at.
You don't bet the halftime show?
I did.
Wait,
no, not the halftime show, but the biggest bet I ever made on the Super Bowl was the duration of the game. Okay, I think it was 4 hours and 3 minutes or something of that. It was the Arizona-Pittsburgh game.
Oh, wow.
I won the bet by 90 seconds, and I had a remote. I will never do that again. I won the bet, but I sweated, and I told one dude what I had, and so now the whole game, he's coming up to me. Hey, it looks like you're running out of time here. You need him to stretch it. The thing that saved me was that challenge at the end and that touchdown in the end zone, and they challenged it. It took about 4 minutes. Otherwise, I lose the bet, and I was crying. I will never bet a big bet like that for the tourists in the game, and especially share it with someone. I'm a superstitious bettor anyway.
Oh,
I don't know if this
love
guy
it,
can save the Bolts. The Chargers running back Melvin Gordon ending the holdout this entire year, turning up the training camp down in Costa Mesa today. He'll join Austin Eckler, Justin Jackson, to create the most established three running tandem on the grids. Now, the Chargers 1-2, they should notch a win this Sunday, you think, huh? Down in South Beach against the Dolphins.
I am thoroughly disappointed that they can't. I think Melvin Gordon, what? He's been sitting out for, what, 6 weeks?
No, it's
weeks?
Been 2 months. Remember,
yeah,
they had
8 weeks.
The,
so 2 months.
The OTAs.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
No, he missed all that. I think you could suit him up, run him against the Dolphins.
Well, they're not going to play him this weekend.
No,
they,
I know. But
the two backs.
I think that'd be a good, you know, training scrimmage. It'd be like playing the college All-Stars.
Well, I'll tell you what, he's lost nearly $1 million. And they can also fine him $1.5 million. What is his salary? 5.8? So it didn't do him any good. And that is, you're picking a fight with the wrong people when you pick a fight with the Spanos. For one, they don't have the big bag like some of the other. Like, Mark Davis doesn't have a big bag either, right?
Yeah.
He's not like Jerry Jones or Kraft or some of the other guys that have the big money, the kid, the owner and with the Rams. I can't think of his name off.
Kroenke.
Those guys, they got the sacks.
Yeah.
Big as a bathtub. These guys are walking around with a sink worth of money. So that's a big difference. Jaguars shut down corner Jalen Ramsey, who recently requested a trade, is not likely to practice this week or travel to Denver. Now, Monday, Ramsey called in sick with the flu. He also had a sore back today is what his issue was, and he wants to be on hand for the birth of his next child, which could carry into Sunday's game. So head coach Doug Marrone, when asked about it at Ramsey's issues, he pretty much made fun with it. Did you see the interview he had today?
Yeah, no.
The media had him out there and they asked him, oh, well, tell us about the back. He talked about the back and he said, well, a lot of people have back issues. And he's laughing. He's actually laughing with the media. I don't know if he intended to, but it came across. If you're Ramsey and you saw this, I ain't coming back. The owner said, hey, we're not going to trade you. Here's a blank check. Fill it out. How much to keep you? He's the best shutdown corner in the game. So if you lose him, you lose that part of the field. Like a Deion Sanders or Sherman when he was all that with Seattle. So how much is he worth to you? And if you're Doug Marrone, be careful because the owner sees something of that nature and you could be putting yourself where you're walking the plank.
Well, I also would point out, though, they win at Denver, which, oh my God, Denver, because Denver sucks. But if they win there, kind of, Ramsey may have, like, leveraged himself into a bad situation. Like, hey, we can win without you. All right, cool. You said we suck? We can win without you.
But the problem with that, though, is the owner. The owner digs the hell out of this dude.
Oh, he loves him.
He loves him. So when, what's his name, Khan, I believe? So when the owner is all in, okay, like, let's say Robert Kraft. Let's say, oh, Michelle. Let's say he felt all that about Michelle.
Brady.
Right. Well, we know how he feels about Brady.
No, but I'm saying Garoppolo. Belichick wanted to go with Garoppolo.
Okay, there you go.
He loves Brady.
So
bye-bye, Garoppolo.
See you, Joey. You gone.
Yeah.
You gone.
Well, in this case, it may be the coach that... Bye, Doug. Bye, Doug.
Hey, it's either me or Ramsey. The owner has the right because he fills out the check, signs it.
I could lose games with anybody.
Let me ask you: Would you have the onions to sit out and miss that kind of money, like Gordon? $1 million?
I don't have that type of talent. If I had that type of talent, where I could sit out and people would then be like, "Come on, please." Yeah, I'd probably, like, no, everybody should be paid what they're worth. And in this type of system, which is not, like, capitalistic, it's not a free market, people should, if you're not being paid what you're valued because the owners are sticking together, then, I mean, yeah, you got to strike, even if it's by yourself.
Yeah. And finally, the Golden Knights lost 4-1 last night to the Avalanche. Two additional preseason games before dropping the puck next Wednesday at T-Mobile for the season opener against the mighty Sharks. Our hated, right? They've become our rivals, right?
Yeah.
Because of what took place in the playoffs last year. See, here's the thing. You want somebody to fight, you know?
Yeah. Well, no, I think we might have a fight. Yeah.
You want to have that rival, somebody that you don't like, and you want to find a reason, okay?
Yeah.
And the reason here is because of what happened in the playoffs when we got ripped off for a chance to go to the finals again in Stanley Cup, and you guys got in the way because of a cheesy call by the ref, so we don't like you anymore, San Jose. So now they're rivals.
I don't think, well, the other thing,
that put the icing on the cake.
Hold on. Yeah, that was, that series, though, we had a guy going, the Muffin Man. We had one coach saying that another coach was bleep-talking his players. The other coach said that he was a clown. Like, we had all kinds of crazy bleep that ended in a penalty, a questionable call. Like, this is the perfect recipe for, oh, okay, we now have a rival. We didn't have a rival. Last year, or 2 years ago, our rival was the friggin' Stanley Cup champion.
Right, so trash talking brought the rival win and the whistles.
Oh, perfect. Mwah. I love that.
All right, we're going to step away. You got, what's that?
Oh, no, I was just letting you know we have a little more time.
Well, you want a break or you want to go to dope after? You want to stay?
Let's go. How about that?
We'll come back. Lighters up. Dope is next.
That was smooth.
Symmetry Medical Spa wants you to laugh, love, and live again. How, you ask? Symmetry Medical Spa is offering FemTouch. FemTouch is a medical, non-invasive urinary incontinence procedure that will control bladder leakage and tighten the vaginal wall. It only takes 2 to 3 treatments and only 5 minutes of your time in our office. Symmetry Medical Spa always offers free consultations, and for a limited time, you can receive $1,000 off. Easy financing. Lands are available. Call now, 702-749- and ask about their free Botox special. Se habla español.
For the best Southern fixin' and soul food in town, you gotta hit up TC's Rib Crib. 3655 South Durango, number 18. They have the best spare ribs in town. Fried chicken? Been there, done that. Check out their award-winning catfish, also their candied yams, their collard greens. Kids eat free on Monday. TC Rib Crib. Give them a call at 702-451-RIBS. 702-451-7427. TC Rib Crib, the best soul food in Vegas. Gents, Seth Williams here. It's time to reload. Move past all the supposed male enhancers, free testosterone products, and get her done. The answer? Trim Care. The hormone replacement pellet therapy will once again make you the boss in the box. Take it from me, got her done. Energy levels up, emotions are balanced, motor running like a freight train, and it restores your mental sharpness. For more than half a year, your testosterone levels will be above or at the male standard, and you'll regain your throne as boss in the box. Contact Trim Care now at 702-878-8888. Tell them Seat sent you and receive a 10% discount. Ladies, get it for your man and you'll be rewarded. 702-878-8888. That's trimcare.com.
Hi, Mom. Is Claire's birthday party today? Me again, Mom. Where did I put my history book? Hi. Sorry, forgot one last thing. Sometimes it's hard to concentrate. At school, I start looking out the window, and then I forget what I was supposed to be thinking about. I know it seems like I don't care, but I do. It's just difficult for me. Love you, Mom. Bye.
Join parents and experts at understood.org, a free online resource about learning and attention issues to help your child thrive. Brought to you by understood.org and the Ad Council.
Same for a special occasion.
Like a quarter pounder, man.
Be careful with that, man. Is it heavy stuff, man? Will it blow me away?
It's time now for Man, That Show Is Dope.
420 in the Valley. Lighters up. This walks you right into the room of a smokeout.
Ugh.
Megatron. Former Lions wideout, the great one, Calvin Megatron Johnson, said he smoked weed throughout his career to help deal with the pain and injuries that came with playing in the NFL. Now, in a Sports Illustrated cover story, Megatron says he sustained an ankle, foot, and knee injury all in 1 year. He also fractured a finger to a permanent 90-degree angle. In other words, his finger is...
Oh, yeah, he's got the weird thing. Oh,
man, try to work with that in the private state. Also, he says he did that, weed, as opposed to opioids. So, look, I'm down with him. But you could tell when the walls are closing in on you. If there's... Let's say you were being drug tested here. Let's say I was still employed here and I was being drug tested for everything. And I do cut some grass. That's it. That's the only thing in my system. But let's say I needed it to sleep. And you can feel the walls closing in. They're going to check you in a week. They do for weed. They do it in the NFL. You know, when they're coming before the year. But still, eventually, you know, there's...
You have to like fail one test and then they'll test you. Yeah. And then they'll test you a bunch of times after that.
To me, Megatron... Cutting grass, ain't nothing wrong with it, bro. It was pretty dope.
Couldn't agree more. All right. So, as you know, well, maybe you don't know, Rugby World Cup is going on. It's where every country in the world sends somebody over, and, you know, America, we're just starting. Like, rugby, yeah, in the 1800s, we were pretty good at it. Lately, last 100 years or so, not as good at it. America lost to England 43-7, which is not good. But local moron, or international moron, Piers Morgan, said England's exhilarating USA, or England annihilating USA proves my long-head theory. Take all the helmets and pads away, and international rugby players would beat NFL players at either sport every time. Okay, I'm going to say a few things. Have you ever seen a rugby player run?
Yeah.
Like, even the good ones.
They're flat-footed.
Yeah. Have you ever seen, I don't know, even a mediocre NFL safety close down on a fool? He's throwing his body at 100 miles an hour, and he's turned himself into a rocket. The reason that they're trying to institute rugby-style tackles in the NFL now is because they're less dangerous.
Right. And they wear no helmets or no gear. They have no pads on. I will say this. They are tough guys.
I'm not saying they're not tough guys. I get that.
Probably no cuffs.
But here's the thing. The armor, the padding, means that the players play with less, like, respect to their own safety. Like, people will use their head as a weapon in American football. Mm-hmm. Comparing the two is stupid. And also, when we send our rugby players, if we wanted to win this thing, you wouldn't have it during the NFL season. We could put together enough dudes. We could get LeBron James out there. We would bring out a crew of dudes that the international world would be like, oh man, they're big. Uh-oh. Oh, God, they're fast.
That's the key.
They're big and fast.
The fast. See, the speed is the one thing they wouldn't be able to. The Euros could not keep up, or any place else, perhaps Africa, they could keep up, but they wouldn't be skilled enough.
Well, but they also wouldn't be yoked. Right.
The speed would kill. You got safeties that can backpedal as fast as receivers can run, or guys can run on the outside for rugby. They don't even have to turn their back. You just backpedal, then come and hit. So, yeah, it's a whole different technique of tackling and everything. It's a different art and skill set, but I agree with you. That guy's a dope. This guy right here is pretty dope. If you like acting, Pulp Fiction and Snakes on the Plane, 187. I could go on and on. I'm talking about Samuel L. Jackson. Now, he will become the first celebrity to voice Alexa. So Alexa is going to be now Samuel L. Jackson for 99 cents. You can hear Jackson do weather reports, news, tell jokes, and even cuss you out.
Mm-hmm. This is a tasty burger.
So we're not going to fight anymore. We're going to pull together, and we're going to find a way to get out of here. First, we're going to seal off this...
Enough is enough! I have had it with these motherfuckers! Snakes on this motherfucking plane! Everybody strap in! I'm about to open some fucking windows. Yes, they deserve to die, and I hope they burn in hell!
I'm sorry. This one always cracks.
This is a tasty burger.
I love it. Just...
That's Pulp, right?
Yeah, that's Pulp Fiction. All right.
That's good stuff.
That's
what it sounds like on Alexa.
Edwin, you said 99 cents?
99 cents.
That is a value.
That's pretty dope.
That's pretty great.
And he's the first celebrity, so you know there's going to be more coming. Look, why did it take so long?
Oh.
But it's here.
I'm glad that it's here. All right, so there's a gentleman. Well, all right, a gentleman. There's a former NBA player by the name of Rex Chapman. He used to, he played in, I think, the late 80s, early 90s. Anyway, yeah.
Phoenix.
Now he is more of a Twitter man. He does stuff on the Twitter. Well, he tweeted out a video. And in this video, there is a dog that is wrapped up by a boa constrictor. And it's a full-grown, like, collie. And it's like this snake has got it wrapped up. And suddenly you see three kids come running over. One of them's hitting the snake with a, like, 2x4. One of them's hitting it with a pole. One kid, like, gets the snake's head down into the ground and, like, picks up its head and, like, starts unwrapping it. And these kids are just wailing on this snake trying to get this dog free. And eventually, like, they're one kid's got the friggin' snake by the head and it's, like, trying to snap at him.
Whoa.
And they're, like, slowly but surely. And these are three. When I say kids, I'm not talking, like, 12 years old. I'm talking, like, 6 and 8. Like, these are
children.
Yeah. And they get this dog free, and I'm just like... I made a pretty cool rejoin earlier today. I didn't do anything, but those kids, man, you can go to my Twitter feed. I retweeted it, or you go to Rex Chapman's. Those kids were dope.
Wow.
I'm happy with anybody that's out here saving a dog, especially that way. We're going to beat up this snake.
They freed Lassie.
Yeah,
you should have made soup out of that snake, too. All right, I got one more. And then we're going to get Ken Thompson up here, Ken Thompson 87, to talk some football. Final dope, a Japanese airline has introduced a feature on a seat booking system that shows where brats are seated on a plane. Now, a child icon appears when passengers traveling with children under 2 years. One traveler said, "The feature let me know that the kids are going to be on here screaming for a 13-hour trip." So this might be something for the future as well when it comes to traveling on airlines. A Japanese airline letting you know when children are there. Listen, to me, that's about the worst thing that could happen on a trip, is to be seated next to a crying baby. I don't care if you're going from here to L.A., whatever the case may be. But a 13-hour trip, so good for Aerial Airlines in Japan. They'll let you know where the chart is, where the little crumb crushers are. Lighters down. Let's get over to our good friend now. He's at Ken Thompson 87, also Sports X Radio. Ken Thompson joining the show. What's up, brother?
What's going on? See my man on a Thursday, brother. Finally got a good Thursday night NFL game.
Feeling good. We got a game tonight. We got one. Well, we'll find out exactly how good it is. We'll start there. Then also we have a college game tonight. We'll get into maybe six or seven key games also in college football. But let's start with the game tonight. The Eagles and the Packers. Packers 4-46.5. The Eagles, though, even though they're banged up, they still have Carson Wentz and they still are a threat. The Packers have gone in a different direction under a new head coach. Now Aaron Rodgers has a little support on the opposite side of the field when he's on the bench and sideline. It's called the defense. What are your thoughts and what are your trends here?
Yeah, you know, I'm interested because I want to see how Green Bay comes out and, you know, plays this game. They got off to that quick start against Minnesota a couple weeks ago, got the 21 points and had to hold on for dear life. You know, Devontae Adams is the real deal. I mean, there's no doubt he could be a number one on many of the teams in the NFL, but the rest of the receiving core, still a lot of question marks. And, you know, Aaron Jones, decent running back, but they've got to get more from the offense because they're putting too much pressure on the defense. The D has stepped up a little bit, so it's good to see. And they'll get Blake Martinez back tonight, which is good. Graham's supposed to go, from what I understand, with the quad. Meanwhile, Philly's still without DeShaun Jackson. That's key because he's the guy that really stretches the field. They do have tackles, Peters and Dillard back, which is cool. And then Alshon Jeffrey, of course, will play. But they're also missing cornerback Ronald Derby, and that's key because he's one of their better secondary covermen. So we'll see if Rodgers takes a few more shots. Anytime you see Adams one-on-one, you know he's going to go there. But, you know, good game, spread right where it should be, 4, 4.5. And, you know, I would either tease Philly up to 10, or I would probably take the Packers, just lay the 4. I think Green Bay, you know, if it's not broke, don't fix it. They find a way to win these close games at home. And like you said, the defense better than advertised.
This is weird. We're looking at the Packers and a team now with a face that's different, a facelift that's different, a new head coach. Aaron Rodgers, we haven't heard anything from him. He's quietly just getting it done. Protected. Remember the injury last year when he struggled and the team struggled with him. I think now the organization and the fan base could feel a bit more comfortable. Not really totally exhale, but you know now that you're in a game, even if Rodgers is not the one in there for the entire game.
Yeah, and that's the thing. My wife's outside of Madison is where she hails from, so she's a big Packers fan. And see, they've gone back there. That's definitely a bucket list thing. You don't want to go there. Say like the Raiders are going to be there in a few weeks. You don't want to go root for the Raiders there. You want to be part of that Packer tradition there. It's a fun place to go when you're rooting for the home team. It's just a great place, great watering holes around there. It's just like its own little environment. If you can get a place somewhere close by, if you're coming in from out of state, I tell you, definitely do it. And if you can plan it to where, like I've done twice, to where Wisconsin's home at Camp Randall, you go there on Saturday, and then you take the two-hour trip up to Green Bay. Doesn't get much better than that. But looking forward to a good game tonight on Thursday. So, you know, we don't get a lot of those seats, especially as it gets later in the year, and there's no flex schedule for those Thursday night games.
That's a pretty good point. And also, they generally put two teams in the same division that are on the bottom of the ledger on the schedule. What's your best experience and memories from going back there to Green Bay?
Oh, man, here's the coolest thing is we went there first time, and my wife hadn't been back in a while because she lives in Arizona. But so we went there, and we had to pick up our tickets at StubHub. So we make the right on the Holmgren Way, and we've got to turn left into the Hilton Garden Inn to grab – that's where the StubHub Center is – to grab the tickets. So she's sitting there to make a left, but it's bumper to bumper going the other way. I go, what are you doing? She goes, oh, we got to pull in that parking lot. I go, honey, there's like 5,000 cars behind you. It's one lane. You're like, you can't sit here. She goes, well, what do I do? I go, well, go down here and just pull in here somewhere, right, and then we'll walk down. So we did that. They had just opened the back of this place called Anduzzi's, which was like this big bar and a watering hole, and then they had a tent. They had a big band there. See, it was the greatest thing that these two cool guys, one guy from Marquette and another guy that worked at Kohler, ended up hanging out with those guys. It was just like one of those experiences that, you know, once in a lifetime, but tried to replicate it a couple years later, but it didn't work out. It wasn't the same experience. But you got to go back there. I know you're a big Charger guy, and now you'll pull for the Raiders because they're here. But at the end of the day, just go there one time and root for the Pack. And it's an experience that's like none other in football.
I got to drop a little action on them before I do that, though, right?
Oh, of course.
Hey, we got a college football game tonight, too. Memphis at home against Navy. Pretty big number, about a 2-touchdown favorite, 54, 55 the total. Triple option. Memphis has had issues defending teams of this nature. They've struggled with Navy and other teams. What are your thoughts here?
Yeah, and you know, I'm kind of concerned too because Memphis struggled in their opener against Ole Miss. They got a 15-10 win, but you know, then they played Southern and then South Alabama. We saw South Alabama play Nebraska somewhat tough in their first game, but then they got blown out their next two. So don't know what to make of this team. Brady White's a pretty good quarterback. They have some players. DeMonte Coxey, one of the better receivers, has 15 receptions, hasn't gotten in the end zone yet. So we'll look for him to try and stretch the field. But they're missing Patrick Taylor, their key running back, although this kid Gainwell stepped up, has over 300 yards and three touchdowns for Memphis. But Navy loved the quarterback, Malcolm Perry, definitely a dual threat. Doesn't throw it too much, 254, two touchdowns, no picks. He's rushed for 184 and five touchdowns. That's in three games so far, in just two games. That's right, they only played two. They played Holy Cross, and then they blew out East Carolina 42-10. But two guys in the backfield that will help out Perry. Nelson Smith is pretty good. He's got four touchdowns. But C.J. Williams, he's their dual threat. He's the guy who leads them in receiving yards and also has a couple touchdowns over 100 yards on the ground. Fago and Nash, pretty good on the defensive side, linebacker and safety, respectively, there for Navy. So I'm looking forward to a good game. I would take the points, double digits. Anytime you give, you know, it's an option team that amount of points, you know, when they're disciplined, and we know Kenny Niumatalolo, man, his boys are always ready to play. I know Memphis' offense is good, but they'll have trouble stopping that option.
What is that number down to? Is it 11?
11, 11 and a half. Yeah, I actually saw some 10 and a half. It was fluctuating between 10 and a half and 11 and a half.
Okay. Ken Thompson, 87, Sports X Radio here on the show Power Play. Let's go to Saturday, Ken. Penn State has struggled all year long. Maryland, in their first game against Syracuse, was off the tables. I mean, their first two games, all the points they put up, you're thinking, wow, this right here is something new. And then, of course, they kind of laid an egg last week. Penn State, on the other hand, coming in about a touchdown, a slightly under favorite, 62.5. Penn State at Maryland. Ken, your thoughts?
Yeah, both teams coming off a bye in Maryland. Yeah, they blow out Howard, no big deal there. But then Syracuse. So we thought Syracuse would be, and I did, somewhat respectable. I thought they were going to actually give Clemson more of a game because they had, you know, taken care of business with them the last 2 years, nearly beat them twice. But Maryland, to me, if you get in the face of Josh Jackson, the transfer from Va Tech, he makes mistakes, and that's what Temple did in that third game. They got in his face, and he had trouble. He had trouble completing passes. He's not that fleet of foot. He's a guy that'll get outside the tackle box, but he really labors a little bit when he's trying to run. Now, they've got a couple good ones in McFarland and Leak out of the backfield, but they lost Funk, Jake Funk, their third option there in the backfield. And trust me, they like to, Loxley likes to rotate those three guys. But McFarland's the most dangerous of those guys. Penn State, I think, will slow him down. They'll key on him. They'll get in the face of Josh Jackson. Penn State struggled with Pitt. Pitt's a very physical team. They beat UCF, should have beat Penn State, but some lousy play calling there by Narduzzi. Penn State with Clifford, pretty good quarterback. We'll find out more about Brown and Ford out of the backfield. Hamler's an outstanding receiver. Freiermuth, one of the better tight ends in the country. Look for Gross Matos, big guy on the defensive line there for Penn State to wreak havoc. They already have 11 sacks on the year in three games. They'll get after. I think Maryland's a pretender. I think they had that one blowout win against Syracuse, and we all thought they were going to be something. I think Penn State silences them and wins by two touchdowns.
Nice. Arizona State Cal, a Pac-12 matchup. Pac-12, they have yet to make it into the Final Four of the college football championship series. Maybe they shouldn't be in the Big Five anymore, right? I mean, and the only team that can represent them right now is a team that lost a game already. These two games, though, two teams rather, are pretty respectable. Cal's in the top 25. Arizona State, Herb Edwards has turned the face around when he got there a year ago. So Arizona State at Cal with that big win down in Mississippi, with that goal line stand, a little help from the officials. However, they still won the ball game on the road. They're a slight favorite here in the total 42.
Yeah, and that's going to be a big game for Cal because they are the only undefeated team left in the Pac-12. And who'd have thunk it? You know, with Washington and Oregon. And Oregon, quite frankly, I mean, they should have beat Auburn. They didn't. Should have, could have, would have. And that probably is going to cost the Pac-12 a playoff opportunity because the winner of the Washington-Oregon game in a few weeks in Seattle, if Washington takes care of business this week against Southern Cal, and we'll get to that game, you know, that's going to be a big-time game. But Arizona State, yeah, they come home from East Lansing. They got the nice win, late score there. Daniels played, you know, really composed on the road down the stretch at the big 4th-and-13 conversion. Eno Benjamin gets a lot of carries, only 3.8 per carry, though. Ayuk's a pretty good receiver there. Darby and Williams, decent receivers. The defense, though, you're right. That's where Herm Edwards relies on that defense. But they're missing Cam Phillips, it looks like, for this game. And that's one of their better guys, already 27 tackles. So if he's out, that's major. And right now he's listed as doubtful. Garber's rather conservative quarterback, but he has thrown for 835 this year already, 7 touchdowns, 2 picks, rushed for another 133. Brown and Dancy, good combination out of the backfield. So we'll see what Cal's got. I think they're good enough to win this game. It's not a game I want to get involved in. Again, Arizona State, we thought that maybe this young team is stepping up, but then they go home and they get beat by Colorado. Look, Colorado's not a bad team. Tucker did a nice job of having the Buffs rebound from an OT loss at home in Boulder to Air Force, and then bounce back, get the win in Tempe. So this is one that spread is at 4. I would lean towards Cal, but I'll respect ASU going to East Lansing, getting a win. This is one I'll stay away from.
He's Ken Thompson at Ken Thompson 87 Sports X Radio here on the show Power Play. Ken, let's go to UNLV. We kind of talked myself and J-Dog about the Rebels and how they need to get this win. It's going to be difficult going up to that altitude in Wyoming. They have a redshirt freshman quarterback in Sean Chambers, who's almost 50% of their offense. He gets it done running the football. At that altitude, smash-mouth football, the Rebels nearly a double-digit underdog in the total 48. What are your thoughts about UNLV and chances of getting a victory up in Laramie?
All right, well, I took the 10 points early and dropped down to 9.5, 9, whatever it is. Look, UNLV, Armani Rogers, the game against Arkansas State, I'm just going to throw it out and give them a mulligan there. They played well the first half against Northwestern. You come off a bye. Now, this is a huge game. You'd much rather go to Laramie now, end of September, than you would in November or late October, no doubt about it, with the altitude and, of course, with that cold weather, that wreaks havoc. But if they can take care of business and do some work on the offensive line, we know that UNLV has decent players on the O-line, but they've given up 11 sacks already. Some of that is Rogers' fault because he has gotten outside the pocket prematurely, and that's, you know, the line doesn't know where he's at. So they'll have to rely still on Charles Williams. How about Williams? 455 yards, 6 touchdowns already. Grimes, the transfer from SC, decent receiver. Jenkins, Stevenson, tight end Bean have to do their job. Faulo, the other tight end, should be ready for this one as well. They'll need both those guys. And then Austri, Jackson, Hester, those guys have to get after it defensively. They are missing one of their secondary players that went down. So, you know, UNLV doesn't really have the great depth, so they've got to be careful there. You talk about Chambers, yeah, he's a two-dimensional quarterback, but you just got to keep him inside the tackles. If you can do that, he's not the best passer as far as, you know, we talk about Armani Rogers having trouble completing passes. I'd like to see Chambers have to throw the ball, staying inside the tackle boxes. If UNLV can do that and limit him from getting outside, I think they got a chance to win this game straight up. It's a huge game for Tony Sanchez to really have a chance, a legitimate chance to get to 6-6 seed. They have to win this game, and the team knows it. You know, yeah. And Tony's not talking about it, but the team knows it. I texted him last night. He texted back. He thinks they can definitely, if they play their game and they get after Chambers but keep him inside the tackle boxes, they can get this W.
And the quarterback Chambers for Wyoming, in his last game, you mentioned his throwing issues. He was 9 of 25 against Tulsa for 183 in that 24-21 loss. But we know he's got the heels and he can run. So you're right. If the Rebels can basically make him throw the football, they have a pretty good chance. But if he's running all over the place, it's going to be a long day for UNLV. I think you're good with the 10, but I'm a little worried about the game itself for the Rebels in a victory. Let's go to the Pac-12 once again. Wazoo and Utah. Utah, a 6-point favorite and 56.5. Utah, that was a tough loss earlier in the year because, like you said earlier, this right here was going to be the team that would have been the face of the Pac-12 and perhaps in a situation to represent down the stretch, but they couldn't get it done earlier. So now they're playing Washington State. They have a total of 56 in this game. A lot of points.
Yeah, it's a lot of points, but when you look at the comeback that UCLA made and wins that game 67-63 in the Palouse, I mean, see, I went to bed. I think most people went to bed. It's 49-17. You're like, okay, the last game, this game's over. I actually laid the 18 and felt comfortable about it when I went to bed. When I got up at like 3 in the morning, you know, like you check scores the last 4 or 5 late games just to make sure, and you're looking, and I'm like, my eyes are fuzzy because, you know, we're getting older and stuff, so I'm just saying, okay, my eyes are playing tricks on me. I had to go down to the computer at 4 in the morning just to take a second look there and see that UCLA actually won that game. I'm glad I taped it because I got to watch it back, even though I knew I lost money, but you got to watch those things back to see what the hell happened. So Wazoo, I mean, that's ridiculous. If you told me your starting quarterback's throwing 9 touchdown passes and you lose, I mean, I think you're talking about arena football. This is absolutely ludicrous. And I don't think Washington State's going to bounce right back. I mean, Warnke's a good running back. Gordon, we know he can throw the ball. So they'll score points, but there's going to be doubt in their mind. How many points do we put up? Okay, we put up 63. We still lose. For Utah, they have somewhat of a small excuse. Now, they're going to be without Zach Moss, their running back. But Brumfield got about 2.5 quarters worth of action against USC after Moss went down. Huntley, the quarterback, is going to go for Utah, so that's key. He's ready to roll. But what happened was Utah, they practiced to take on Slovis, the freshman quarterback for Southern Cal. You know, they figured out his tendencies and whatnot with a game of film they had to look at. What do? They put him out of action, second play of the game, All of a sudden, Matt Fink steps in. They have no film on this guy. This guy lights him up for 351 and three touchdowns. We'll see what happens now. Utah's got plenty of film on Gordon. I think Utah too physical on the defensive line. If they, too, can get after Gordon, but also watch the back, Borgie out of the backfield, because that's the main guy that Gordon will chuck it to. He's got five other good receivers, but I don't think Utah's going to give them time. See, if I told you Utah would outrush USC 246-13 at the Coliseum, you would for sure think Utah rolled in that game, but not the case because they gave up too much passing yards. But I think Utah right side in this game, as long as Rice-Eccles Stadium stays rocking. Washington State's still dangerous, but I'm looking at the Utes for this one to bounce back.
All right, this one right here, generally speaking, Oklahoma State and Kansas State, you're going to put some points up, 60.5. That, I think, is a bit low, but then Kansas State does have some D, and Oklahoma State's a 4.5-point favorite here, Ken.
Yeah, let's remember, Chris Klieman now is the new head coach at Kansas State. Perfect guy to replace Snyder. Comes over from North Dakota State. This guy just wins. I think he's won, like, now you count the first 3 years at Kansas State, 24 games in a row or whatever it is. Absolutely incredible. But it's a K-State team that's very disciplined. I have a good quarterback in Skylar Thompson. Gilbert and Brown, two pretty good guys in the backfield. And then Dalton Schoen, excellent receiver. Steve Largent-type, possession-type guy. And three linebackers, Patton, Sullivan, and Green. These guys will get after him. And Green's just a freshman. Kansas State went down to Starkville, took out Mississippi State. That's a big-time win with a new coach and people thinking K-State's going to struggle. Oklahoma State, look, Spencer Sanders, their quarterback, he's turning heads big time. Nearly pulled one off in Austin. They never quit in that game. Depends when you played that game. I laid 5. They end up winning by 6, Texas does. But a lot of people laid 6.5 or 7 late, didn't get the money. Chuba Hubbard already 9 touchdowns on the ground, one of the better running backs in the country. And Wallace has 6 via the airwaves. Stoner, a pretty good one as well for Okie State. Stillwater's a good home field advantage, but K-State's just a disciplined team that can go in there and silence the crowd. This is one that I'm going to enjoy. It's a must-see, but I'll stay away, maybe get involved during the in-running wager.
All right, we'll find out who Nebraska is, Ken, as Ken Thompson, 87, at Sports X Radio here on the show Power Play, because Ohio State comes to town. Ohio State has covered their last 3 games by, what, 70-plus points. They're just slaughtering teams. They're 17-point favorites here, 66.5. Do the Cornhuskers have a prayer?
They do, only because it's in Lincoln. So, yeah, Ohio State takes out FAU, Cincy, Indiana, Miami of Ohio. Justin Fields is the real deal. 13 touchdowns, no picks, rushed for 6 more. So he's accounted for 19 touchdowns. And then I think one of the top 3 running backs in the country in J.K. Dobbins. I love this kid. And they've got another young one, Master Teague III, sitting right behind there. He's already gotten some pretty good action because of some of these blowouts. Victor Olave and K.J. Hill there to represent as far as the receiving core. And then Chase Young, already 14 tackles, 7 of those are sacks. Ohio State has 20 sacks in those 4 games, so averaging 5 per game, and that's better than anybody else can do. So Adrian Martinez, as good as he is, he needs help. He's been on the run. He's thrown a couple picks. He's thrown 7 touchdowns. He's rushed for 3, but he needs help. Mo Washington, he's going to have to gut it out. He's got a leg injury right now. He was listed as questionable. Mills is out, their other running back. That's huge. 2 key receivers, Spielman, really good receiver, and then Jack Stoll, tight end, going to rely on him as a safety valve. Everything has to click for Nebraska to stay in this game. They're good enough if they play their A game and the crowd really gets into it in Lincoln. You know they will. But I'll tell you what, Ohio State just has a way of wearing teams down, and this Justin Fields kid is good. This is the best Ohio State offense that I've seen this time of season with this many new faces. Again, Fields was happy to have Dobbins back and K.J. Hill. But a lot of new faces there, and Chase Young's just a beast on defense. He's one of the best. Can't wait for him. I hope the Raiders can grab him first round.
That should be fun. And finally, Ken, Southern Cal and Washington. Washington 10.5 and 61. Southern Cal, of course, they lost their freshman quarterback in the first quarter last week, and they're coming back. Hopefully they had a nice dramatic comeback off the bench. We'll see if they could get one done here.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Matt Fink, there's film on him now. We'll see. Malapai a little bit banged up in the backfield. Stephen Carr, to me, has regressed as far as, you know, that other back in the backfield. But the receiving core, when you have Pittman Jr., Amon-Ra St. Brown, and Tyler Vaughn, so those are 3 NFL guys to be from that receiving core. And that's what Fink did. Anytime he saw one of those guys one-on-one seat, he just chucked it up there. Says, my guy's going to go get it. If he doesn't get it, he's going to knock it down. You can't cover these guys one-on-one, and that's what SC's game plan will be against Washington. And Washington, a decent secondary, but let's remember, the Huskies lost 9 on defense, only 2 guys back. look, Ahmed, their running back, he's banged up, but Newton and McGrew are pretty good. They stepped in last week. The transfer quarterback, Eason, coming over, doing a real nice job on the offense. Hunter Bryant, the tight end, very solid. Fuller, Basilia, and McClatcher, decent wide receivers. The defense starting to pick it up. And linebacker Kyler Manu, this guy's the real deal, so keep an eye on him. And also senior DB Miles Bryant for Washington. Seattle's a great home field advantage. They didn't get the most of it in that three-hour rain delay deal against Cal. That's their only blemish. Washington up to 10.5. I'll stay away because I'll respect SC's speed and receivers. But if I were going to play at seat, I'd probably take the hometown Huskies.
Ken, do you have a game you want to put out there for the public?
Well, yeah, you know, see, the main game that I'm going with is Iowa State. I'm going to go with Iowa State. I know they're playing an undefeated Baylor team. I respect Baylor, but Baylor's played a patsy schedule. They did not score in the second half against Rice last week on the road. Beat them 21-13. It's a big-time game in Waco. I know they're trying to get that program back from nearly going to the death penalty, but I like Iowa State. I think Brock Purdy is the real deal. They suffered the one-point loss at home to Iowa, but I think they bounced back here. They rolled over Monroe last week. No big deal. Put up 72, but I still think they're good enough. They've got four good running backs and the best defense linebacker core in the Big 12, better than Oklahoma's linebackers. So if they get after Charlie Brewer, they're going to make Baylor hurt all night.
Always a pleasure, Ken. Iowa State, let the folk know where they can find you.
Yeah, at SportsX Radio, at Ken Thompson, 87, SportsX Radio, Monday through Friday, right here in Vegas. Come over to Legacy Stadium, see me there. See, you come down there, I'll buy you some dinner, pal.
All right, bro, keep rocking it, dog.
All right, buddy, you rock.
Thank you. Ken Thompson, always a pleasure, always deep with information, knows everything about the coaches and the players. All right, we got a couple of minutes here before I roll out. Let's drop some baseball on you, the way it's set up right now, National League. The Dodgers, number one seed right now. They've clinched that position. The Nats and the Brewers, they're fighting. The Nats a half game up right now in the Brewers. Braves, number two. Cards, number three. Other side, the Astros got the overall kick. If they could just win one more game, they lock that up. Number two was the Yankees. Then you have the Twins, who clinched last night. The A's battling right now with the Rays and Cleveland. Cleveland, of course, went in a slight slump, but they close out at the Nationals, which is not going to be easy. They're at the White Sox right now. We'll see what happens in that ball game. Let's take a look at scores right now going on. Third inning, Pirates up on the Cubs. They've dropped seven in a row. So you know Joe Madden, he's gone. I mean, they choked it off. They were sitting there with a chance to make it back to the playoffs, and they couldn't get it done. Mets and Marlins, Mets are done. I think they're safe there with their skipper. They're scoreless in the third inning. 5-3, your final. The Brewers, they're on fire right now. Even with Yelich, they're star gone, Mr. MVP, 5-3, they beat the Reds. Rocking other scores that matter, Twins won 10-4. They're just celebrating right now because they've got their victories. Dodgers won to nothing
over the Padres. They're not used to it.
No, you're right. Kershaw got the win, I believe. If he went five, yes, he did. He's 16-5 now. And also, the Nationals won their game 6-3. So the Nationals and the Brewers continue to pound. They'll be meeting the Brewers, so that makes it 90-70 are the Brewers. The Nats are now 90-69 with one game to make up. That's tight all the way around, man. I'm loving it. So, there we are. Indians play the White Sox. That comes up in a bit. Also, the Astros and Angels, A's and Mariners. How about the A's, the way they turned it around, the parent team for the Aviators? Pretty awesome.
I'm excited. I'm genuinely excited to see how the Dodgers blow this. Whether they do it in the World Series, whether they do it on the, you know, they do it in like the National League pennant. Like, it's going to be fun to see how the Dodgers have the best record in baseball.
And, 3 in a row.
Yeah, don't do anything with it.
Yeah. Yeah, you're bad. I like it, though. All right, he's J-Dog. I'm Seed Williams. That was Ken Thompson at Ken Thompson 87. Also, check him at SportsX Radio. Been knowing Ken for, wow, 20, 25 years now. Some of you haven't even been 25 years on this planet yet. That'll wrap it up. Thanks for joining us. Remember, keep your chins tucked low, guards up high. We'll see you on the radio. More of the show. That's Monday. Power up. Power out.